The sentence came down on Friday. Ethan Crumbly, a life sentence without parole for the Oxford High School shooting, of course, which claimed four young lives, injured several other people. And I think it represents a really firm stance on punishing these heinous acts, Kevin. I thought, listen, this is what I thought he should get. I think what most people thought he should get. And it seems by Ethan Crumbly's own statements that it's kind of what he thought he should get.
It was also heartbreaking listening to the victims' families, survivors, passionately speaking during the hearing, describing the pain, the loss of loved ones, and the ongoing trauma from the shooting. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great.
Appreciate you being here. Ethan Crumbly, probably not much surprise. He kind of knew what was coming. The process of going through all of this, to have everybody come and speak, how important is that to the process of justice?
I think it's very important on several different levels. First, the Constitution of our state has a Victims' Rights Act, and the victims get to speak at time of sentencing and also have a say in the prosecution of the case. But judges want to hear, the impact of this on the families and loved ones. I think it's very important at all sentencing. And I also think it's cathartic. I think there is some closure that comes, to move to the next level.
The in this case, Ethan Crumbly, he also has a right to speak.
Absolutely. And to the extent that there was anything he could possibly say, that would give him some modicum of thought for a court or a judge to think that he could be rehabilitated. That was a heavy lift, and I doubt very seriously that it could ever happen.
You know, so he did speak, and he did, when he spoke, acknowledge his crimes and acknowledge that he's a horrible person. He expressed a lot of remorse in court. I know that does not in any sense reduce the heinousness of the crime that he committed. But does it at all, the fact that he acknowledged it and didn't fight back, does that help bring any sense of comfort to his victims or the victims' families, do you think?
I don't necessarily know if it brings comfort necessarily as much as it doesn't exacerbate the pain if he went the opposite way.
That's a better phrase.
If, there's not an ability to and this, walk the journey of the how the shoes pinch for these victims' families and my client's family. But I could only imagine he could have thrown gasoline on the fire here if he would have gone in a different direction.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Given the impact statements, and they were very, very difficult to listen to, and they were gut-wrenching from the victims' families, what does the judge look at when, how much does this impact the judge's decision and the broader, consequences of the crimes in entering into the decision on which way to go in the sentencing?
Only if there was a someone that said, don't do it, don't sentence him to life, give him a term of years, but that wasn't going to happen. The judge had due process that he had to follow when giving a life sentence to a juvenile. And that is, walking through the steps of whether or not there's any possibility of rehabilitation in this case. And, he listened to all of that. Very, very difficult to do in this day and age, but the court made the right decision based on everything it had.
We're talking with Todd Flood of Flood Law about the Oxford sentencing of Ethan Crumbly. One of the reasons judges sentence people the way they do is to deter future crimes. In these kinds of cases, do you think there is any deterring of future crimes?
So this is mental illness in its worst state, and deterring mental illness is not, people that commit these crimes need different types of help well in advance. So, yes, deterrence is a major factor, but let's just be candid here. There was no deterrence with this guy because he's seen other sentences. He's seen other people be put to death in other cases in the South, and he still wanted to go through with this. He still wanted to make this happen. That's how ugly this was.
You know, legally, can we blame mental illness? Certainly, I can look at it objectively and say, yeah, the guy was mentally ill, whatever was going on.
Right.
That led to this. But legally, this wasn't an insanity defense they were putting
no, it
forward.
Wasn't
how
right.
does mental illness play into it?
Well, if he's competent to stand trial and he knows the difference between right and wrong. So there's two factors. One, was he competent? Yes. You know, he knew who the president was. Two, you know, so he could stand trial. Two, he could weigh the pros and cons of his decision making.
What happens with the parents' case? Can prosecutors call Ethan as a witness? Does he play a role in the charges against his mom and dad?
They could call him as a witness. Yes, absolutely. And you know, he could his factual basis in his plea, he kind of laid the wood to them in his plea, you know, with giving some responsibility of them knowing where he was at and still providing him a gun.
Gosh, yeah, that's powerful. Well, if they bring him in, that would be very, I would imagine, detrimental to the defense for sure. Both of their cases, because they're now separate. You look at this case, Ethan Crumbly. This, I believe, was the first U.S. case of a mass shooting that led to these terrorism charges, correct?
That is absolutely correct, and that was a huge part of this. Karen McDonald, first time in the history of our country as far as these mass shootings go, did bring in a terrorist charge, and in fact, it did hold up. No one challenged that, and he pled guilty to that.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, you're killing innocent civilians. That largely is how we define what a terrorist is, and this is exactly what Ethan Crumbly did.
That's right.
Where does Ethan Crumbly go from here? Is he go into an adult prison? Is he will he go into?
He'll go. Yeah, go I'm sorry. Step on that. He'll go into a juvenile holding facility within until he becomes the age of an adult, and then he then will be put into the population of adult prisoners. He will not be put in with the population of the adults until he reaches that age.
You know, let's look at some other cases. You know, unfortunately, we know that, well, we don't know, but we can largely presume that there are going to be other mass shootings in this country, and there are probably going to be some carried out in schools. How will this case, do you think, impact those future cases?
Only from the standpoint of preventing, because I believe the school... you know, we have to prevent just one of these cases, and that's mandatory. How is it going to? I think by education, what Oxford did wrong, what they did right, and you know, make it a model for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And even just the how they acted afterwards, how they some of these you know staff members or whatnot did not cooperate with some of this. These investigators. It's sad. This section is over with. There's more to come on it. Always appreciate your input on this. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Todd, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it.
Boy, you hope it brings some closure to these families. I know there is no closure in a situation like this, but hopefully.
Some sense. 800-859-0-WJR.